Well, joining us now is GoatTree, and he's been on several times talking about computers, cybersecurity issues, and other things like that. So when I saw what was happening with CrowdStrike, I wanted to get him on to get his take on this. As a matter of fact, he was sending me some stuff as the program was going on Friday, and I didn't see it until after the program. So I wanted to do this special report and put this out. Now, the name may sound familiar to you. It took me a moment to kind of place it. It's like, oh, yeah, those are the guys that were involved with Hillary Clinton and the Russiagate stuff. And they were the ones who flagged it for her. And they were the ones who first put this out. And then, of course, as CNN puts it, they said CrowdStrike was the first to publicly sound the alarm about Russia's interference in 2016 election. Well, that's suspicious. And then CrowdStrike's assessment was later confirmed by U.S. intelligence agencies. Lied left and right, and that's all been confirmed now. CNN just flushed about 4 or 5 years of history down the memory hole, because we've known for several years this has been thoroughly debunked. They kept everybody going for a couple of years, but all of this stuff about 17 security agencies and everything, that was all Hillary Clinton, and we've gone through all that, but it's all still news to CNN, who pretends that this didn't happen. So now CrowdStrike is at the center of worldwide outage in all kinds of things, from transportation to banking. We've got stores that are closed that can't do business. It is massive because of something that is in their code. It does not affect Macs. It doesn't affect Linux, but it affects Windows. But it has affected businesses and airports around the world. We've got entire airlines that have shut down. Some of them are using whiteboards to put stuff out. So I guess unless you want to fly Amish Air, you may be out of luck with traveling anywhere. So I want to get GoatTree on and get his take on this. Thank you for joining us, GoatTree.
Happy Saturday, David. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead. What do you think is going on with this? You're looking at this, and one of the things that you pointed out is so interesting that it's just one little line of code, 15 characters, that's caused all this grief.
Yeah, and CrowdStrike. Basically, I'll just read how they describe themselves. CrowdStrike Services provides the best practice framework needed to access and enhance cybersecurity maturity levels for election systems. Yeah. Oh, yeah, election systems, boys and girls, to protect the integrity of the voting process and sanctity of the democratic institutions under which we thrive.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They're already advertising. They're going to be handling the elections.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there it is right there. Cybersecurity for election systems. Isn't that great? We got NewsGuard from Microsoft that's going to make sure the news is good. They got Election Guard to make sure that elections are going to be good. And we also got CrowdStrike, who's going to make sure that the elections are safe from any tampering.
Yeah, and, I've called this, since it's a cybersecurity company doing it, we can't call it a hack. Let's call it an exploit.
Yeah.
I've named it the revenge of the closed source strikes again. What that means is, this is geek speak for vendor backdoors, vendor ports, open ports, whatever geek speak you want to apply to this old DOS Windows operating system.
Yeah, and that's the key thing, that Windows hasn't really fundamentally changed forever, right? Decades of stuff that's built on top of this garbage that's at the foundation. It's got a really old foundation, doesn't it?
It is antiquated. It has not changed. They just put new skins on it, and these little... this has been around since 19... Well, when did Bill Gates steal it? 1982.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's never been modified for current operations. All these guys that built their careers on Windows and this, they're going to say you don't know what you're talking about. But basic codes and basic commands are still DOS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not changed.
Yeah.
And, for instance, it only took 15 characters in this code string. Can you think of 15 characters to crash millions Windows operated laptops, desktops, and servers.
And can we talk a little bit about what is actually? Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about what is actually happening. I mean, what they're getting the blue screen of death. It's not booting up. Is that correct for the people who have it?
Right. And what it has done is it's locked. Let me go back for just a second. I'm working on my notes because this has been like kicking over Pandora's box and Medusa pops out. Because this is not what it looks like. Basically, it is causing these machines to continually try to boot up, but there's it's not allowing them to. It's giving you conflicts, and you have to go into the back way in, which is through the safe. I don't use Windows that much. I mean, I quit using Windows years ago. But you have to go into safe mode, then you have to scroll through, find the file, find this 115 character code, and manually remove it. And, you know, you have billions of lines of code all through these servers and things like that. So you're looking for a 15 character code to remove.
You know,
right now, if you think about it, it's so surreal because there's trillions of lines of code out there making things operate, and billions of dollars spent on digital security, and a simple little 15 character code bricks millions of Windows devices on the critical infrastructure.
Wow. So if you reboot this thing and you get into safe mode, then you've got to go into some kind of a text editor to try to find that one line, those 15 characters, and remove it. Is that what the real hitch is?
Well, you've got to
file. Oh, I lost your audio there. Did you drop your phone?
No.
Oh, okay. We're back. Yeah.
Okay. No, what you've got to do is, and this goes back to DOS. I mean, these guys that want to argue with me, they can argue till their tonsils roll out on the floor. You've got to go back to the file, which is written on DOS backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Open that file, and then go through and locate that 15-line code and remove it manually.
And that's the time-consuming thing. And that's going to be different for every computer, presumably, because of the things that have been put in there, where that is located in the file? Or?
In theory, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just simply go in and open up. Hopefully, the IT people were smart enough not to change a name on the file, but some of them do.
Yeah, wow. Let me read this to you. This is from Futurism. It says, Microsoft recommends rebooting your computer 15 times as blue screen of death strikes worldwide. The subtitle is, have you tried turning it on and off again? Which is the first thing tech support always ask you. And then on and off again. And they said, as the world is reeling, this is their instructions to try, try 15 times.
I mean, if you want to try the goat tree method, hit it with a hammer a couple of times. If that don't work, bounce it off the floor a couple of times.
Yeah, I bet there's some people I bet there's some people are doing that right now because they're so upset about what is happening with this. And so we got all these computers that have gone down, and they're saying it might take weeks, and I guess it's because it's difficult to find that particular piece of code to fix it, right? And the massive DOS.
Well, let's put it into concept. You know, average business, let's just say, $1 million a year business. They probably have 25, maybe 30, some of them, you know, in automation and things like that. And they have 50 laptops or desktops or whatever to operate their business, their people and their business. And they only have one IT guy. Well, it may take this one IT guy to an hour per laptop, desktop, server, whatever, to clear it. So you, right there, you have got 50 to 60 manual hours just bringing the computers back online. So if you get these multinationals, their IT is usually no more than, let's see, the way they like to work is seven. Let's just say they've got 1,000 computers down. They've got 7 IT people. They've got a problem. You know, we're talking weeks or months.
Yeah. I see what the problem is. Yeah. You multiply it out so by all these different computers.
Right. It's not the code. It is the correction that is going to be causing the delays.
That's right. And, of course, these computers are not necessarily going to be all in one physical location. They're going to be distributed to a lot of different places for all these IT guys to try to
go to.
It's crazy. Well, now, you've been talking about this.
On a Friday. This occurred on a Friday. Wait till people get in the office. Those that weren't in the office on Friday, wait till they get in on Monday and get their surprise.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you've been talking about this kind of stuff for quite some time, the kind of exploits. You were talking about it with railroads and things like that, right?
Yeah. This is, to explain this in a simple way, you know, when we were talking about this Palestine-Ohio railroad crash,
yeah,
I sent you that video of the railroad dude opening the remote shack. It had the automated safety equipment in it. It was all there. Radio, computer, keyboard, everything just sitting there waiting to rock and roll. This stuff will send in information, either event-driven or on a schedule. Mm-hmm. Well, me, Mr. Black Hat, the only thing between me and it is a padlock. So if I would knock that padlock and get in there and insert, I don't know, let's just say a 50-character line of code that would take down that railroad, I could insert it, embed it into the hourly or event transmission. When that happens, it's going to deploy on their email server, whichever server it goes to, whatever it's routed to. When they open it up, it starts bricking things.
And as you pointed out before, you know, a lot of these things ship with a default passcode that is there in the manual, and a lot of times they don't change the default password. And if they do change the default password, frequently what they'll do is write it there next to the password for the next guy who's coming in, because it's a hassle
right
for them.
Write it on
the wall. So, you know, that's just human nature. That's what's happening with these systems. So.
Well, this is the same principle that happened with this CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike does it as a update. Well, basically, these remote nodes are sending updates. It may be information. And you can insert malware into it and do the same thing. I mean, the header comes along, comes across 1 o'clock update. Everything's fine, dandy. And at the bottom, you insert your code. And the system's going to read the code, too. And it can execute that code. Because machines are dumb. Computers are dumb. They're driven on commands. So if it sees this update, this operational update, sees code on it, it could actually execute that code. And then you have the domino effect or the waterfall effect happening.
Yeah, and we had the... Yeah, talk a little bit about the Colonial Pipeline as well, you know, when we had that situation happening. Pen tests.
Well, this was one, it was it's either 2015 or 2016. We did some pen testing on a pipeline. And these used these very small devices that basically took pressure, flow, and all these rates that was needed to make the pipeline function efficiently. And they would send in these one-hour updates. Well, they kept these in these plastic. They weren't even locked. They were in these, like, plastic things where your water sprinkler is. We popped that open. We took the disc out, put ours in it, and we waited about an hour, and they started getting alarms at the master system, and ours was not meant to hurt anything. It was just simply a spoof letting them know that we were in the system. I think we were playing disco music and had a flashing screen.
And that's what they hire you for. They hire you as a white hat hacker to find the vulnerabilities and report them to them. And to play some disco music occasionally.
Play them some KC and the Sunshine Band.
Or Yoko Ono screaming at night. Yeah.
No, we only save that for squatters. Rarely use that. Basically, we let them know we were in the system, and if we were up to no good, we could do anything we chose to. So we made them listen to some really weird disco music as their punishment.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, when we look at this, and again, we keep seeing this over and over again. We've had a couple of, now Colonial Pipeline, they had a hack that, from what it was reported, it attacked their counting system and not the pipeline. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that seemed to be, these ancillary systems, I mean, we saw that with the airlines that got shut down for like a 24-hour period because somebody hacked into the NOTAM system, which is a warning system that tells the planes if there's some incident in or around an airport or on a runway or something like that. So it's just kind of a news alert broadcast. But if they didn't have that ability to warn planes and that was taken down, the FAA just shut down all of the planes for about a 24-hour period.
Yes, well, yeah. You've got right now, just off this exploit, thousands of flights either very delayed or canceled. I mean, you've got people that are basically stranded at the moment.
Well, we're talking about this on Saturday. Yesterday afternoon, I looked and they said that all of United and all of American Airlines were shut down. So I don't know how extensive it is in the United States, but all their planes are shut down.
And like I said, 15 character codes, what's done it. And I would hate to be part of their IT department.
Mm-hmm.
These guys aren't going to get home for months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're going back to how to get into these systems. It doesn't matter where you find the vulnerability. You can exploit it. It's like with Colonial Pipelines. Well, they found it in the payroll or whatever department they got into. When you're probing a network, you look for the vulnerability. You don't care where it is, because once you get in, you can burrow to wherever you want to go. So, I mean, I could, in theory, find a unguarded, I don't know, site for their janitorial staff. I'm in. And, you know, you could have the janitorial department of doom sitting there terrorizing the company.
That's a real hits the fan scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, literally.
Well, you know, we link this thing. So this thing is caught in this loop trying to boot up, I guess, is what is happening when this thing goes through. And they've got to manually remove this. And, you know, it's time consuming for each one of these things. Just multiply it out by all the computers that this has been put on. They can't do it evidently remotely because computer can't boot up. So it's got to be fixed at each and every one of these. You know, we talked about this before, the blaster worm and things like that. We got a history of this. One person is going back to Y2K. They said, this is what we feared about Y2K, but it's really happened. And of course, there's shortly after that, there was a blaster worm as well, right?
Yeah, the blaster worm goes back to, I think it was 2003. It was an old... Well, once again, you know, it goes back to DOS. They'd say, oh, this is all in the Windows, blah, blah, blah. Basically, this, I forget which forget which platform, Windows platform it happened on, but it bricked them up the same way in 2003. And I think it was XP, Windows XP, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody says, oh, it's all corrected, it's fixed, this, this, this. Well, here it is 21 years later, it's back, same exploit. Mm-hmm. And the IT people, a lot of them weren't even born or were watching Teletubbies in 2003, and they're getting a dose of something that's been around for 20-some-odd years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And everybody, I mean, this goes back to the backbone of Windows. This is all DOS-related. People can argue with me, and they can carry on, and, you know, it's like, that's fine. But if you know, really, truly know the architecture of Windows, it's 40-something-year-old architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been reskinned and has some various things added, but the crux of it, the backbone of it's same as it was 1984-85.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, let's talk a little bit about the conspiracy theories that are out there. We've got, this was put out of mainstream media to cover up for this stuff, and it was pushed out by Drudge Report. Online conspiracy theories abound after the major global IT crash. And it appears this is a company that I'd never seen their name before talking about this. And Cyabra, C-Y-A-B-R-A. Have you heard of them? Cyabra. It is a disinformation security company. So these are people, you know, we got people that want to make sure that we don't have any disinformation out there. But this is disinformation security company. And they're focused on shutting down these conspiracy theories before they travel around the world, right?
Well, good luck with that. Come on, come to me, the disinformation company. I'll take you out of school.
Yeah.
I've never heard of them, but I don't pay attention to them because they basically aren't on my radar. Mm-hmm. And if they want to make a run at me, welcome to. I'll show them some different disinformation. Mm-hmm. But I've sent you some direct connections I want you to follow up on, because CrowdStrike is in a partnership with the WEF.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that the World Economic Forum is a warning of mass cyber strikes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a couple of years ago. They were talking about Cyber Polygon, I think, wasn't it? I think it was 2022, if I'm not mistaken. But they're warning everybody.
They still are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still talking about it. And so that was really the purpose of this news article, was to inoculate the World Economic Forum, to give them immunity from these conspiracies. Because people don't like the World Economic Forum, it's been the brunt of these conspiracy theories. Well, it's because they've been talking about how this is what's going to happen. And then it happens with a company that is connected deeply with them. It's the one that pulls
yes,
it off.
And proud. Well, it gets better though. WEF and CrowdStrike. It's easy to find. Just go to their website. They'll tell you that they're partners with the WEF, mm-hmm. and they are globally involved in elections. With now, this is the good part. Working partnership with the WEF, linked to Global Cyber Alliance. Now, the misinformation guys you gave me, I'm not even going to pay attention to them. The Global Cyber Alliance is what you need to research. Everybody that's going to be listening to this, have a look at Global Cyber Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
You've never heard of them, but they are part of the WEF, and that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is...
And
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just want everybody to focus on this Global Cyber Alliance.
Focus on the Global Cyber Alliance and focus on the connections to elections, because that's really what this is about. I think we've got to go back to paper. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no perfect system, but when you go back to something that is physical like that, it keeps away the global thieves that can break in everywhere and multiply multiply this. You know, in the same way that what we're talking about in terms of doing the repair on this, it is difficult to get that done because you got a limited number of people that can go out there and fix these different machines. And that's the very reason why you want to have paper elections. You know, you're going to have some crooked areas like Chicago where they're going to stuff the ballots regardless of what you do or what form they're in. But what you do when you have a physical ballot like that, what you do is you make an obstacle for them that they can't be everywhere all at once and change all these things. But they can do that if it's computerized.
Well, now here's where it gets interesting. CrowdStrike's part of providing security for the United States elections on November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
What if these elections aren't going the way they see fit, and they have another update, and they brick the election machines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We said, well, that's impossible. Well, look what they've just done.
Yeah. Oh, no, I remember I've talked many times about what happened in Brazil with Smartmatic. You know, that was one of the first electronic voting machine companies at the time. It was started in Venezuela with some friends of Hugo Chavez to keep him in office. But they've had accusations of disruption and fraud in several states in Mexico and the Philippines, in Brazil. And in Brazil, you had exactly that scenario. You had this leftist who was really lagging behind the polls from all indications. You know, she was booed off out of the stadium the day before the election, football stadium. And she was losing significantly. And then all of the machines go down, and then they're down for a while. And then when they come back up, she's switched positions with the other guy. And so, yeah, it is very easy for them to do that type of thing with electronic machines.
Well, let's take, for instance, yesterday. Well, today's Saturday. It would be Friday. Arizona was having their early balloting for, I don't know if what it was. It may have been primaries, early election, early voting. I don't know. They had that same event happen.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right in the middle of the elections.
Yeah.
All from this exploit.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, from this exploit. It's kind of like, you know, who watches the watchers, right? That's what that was. The problem is, the problem with government is that we're not angels, as Madison said. So we need to have government. But when we have government, who watches the government? Because they're made up of men who are not angels. And same thing happens when you talk about police or when you talk about cybersecurity. Who watches the watchers? How do we keep this thing under control? How do we know that CrowdStrike, that has been involved in nefarious things just 8 years ago at the center of these false claims about the election at the time, how do we know what they're doing? Are they an honest broker? They've insinuated themselves pretty much everywhere. They got. I didn't realize they had such a massive footprint globally.
Well, the weird part about all this is, okay, they disrupted Arizona elections yesterday. This exploit comes only 5 days after the attempted assassination of President Trump.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there's just too many coincidences to ignore here, wouldn't you think?
And who watches the watchers there? Who watches the Secret Service to make sure that they're actually doing their job, that they're not setting things up? You know, it's just another example. It's very much like that, except this is the computer version of it. So.
Yeah, and, you know, if they want to send the cyber disinformation dudes after me, bring it.
Yeah, after both of us. That's why, well, you know, we have to call it the way we see it. It is extremely suspicious. Their connections to the World Economic Forum and their connections to the elections are very suspicious. At the very least, you know, again, when you're looking at this situation, the shooting there in Pennsylvania with Trump, you look at it in terms of incompetence, and it's always these two things. Is it incompetence or is it maliciousness? And when the incompetence, or it could be both. Yeah, exactly. Because people can use that incompetence in a malicious way. Some people can use that. And so it's always difficult to look at this.
Weaponized incompetence.
What's that?
Yeah, weaponized incompetence, otherwise known as DEI.
Didn't earn it. Yeah, that's right. Well, it certainly is interesting. And we'll be following this. Anything else that we haven't covered that you want to mention before we call it quits here?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. This is all documented, and if your listeners want to take it upon themselves to go start doing some digging and researching, you know, they're going to be surprised with what they find.
Yeah, that's right.
And another thing, if we get this word out, the thing about it is, even if this is actually what we think, shining light on this stuff always makes them alter their game plan. If everybody knows what's up, they suddenly aren't able to operate in the dark, and they may pivot off of whatever they have planned.
That's right. If it's malice, you want to shine the light on it. If it's incompetence, you want to shine the light on it. So, you know, we look at this and it's like, is this incompetence or is it malice? Either way, we need to shine the light on it. And already, you know, we got the CEO of CrowdStrike is out there getting visibly angry with it because he's had, I don't know how much the stock is down now and off hours trading and everything. But yesterday it lost a little over 10%. Yesterday, it probably keep going down if people are still got their computers down, and we'll have a lot of computers down at the beginning of the week. It's going to continue to go into free fall, and I hope he's got a golden parachute because he may be defenestrated pretty soon, thrown out the window.
I hate to break. I hate to admit, I live like a, you know, went in Rome. I shorted him yesterday, so I hope he's crying crocodile tears.
There you go. That's a way to profit off of this stuff. Well, you know, they have shortchanged us, that's for sure. And that'd be a fair response to short their stocks. Created a lot of misery for a lot of people. And it was the cybersecurity thing that actually did it. So it's we're seeing this over and over again. The structures that are there to protect us. And again, as you and I talk about, the incredible fragility of our infrastructure and how the more complex it gets, the more fragile it becomes and the more vulnerable it becomes to somebody who is malicious. But with that complexity and then with DEI, whole thing, everybody needs to start shorting the infrastructure. And by that, I mean going out and prepping for yourself and making sure that you're going to be okay if this house of cards falls down because of 15 characters. That's really what we're looking at right here.
Well, that gentleman you had on yesterday with his civil defense books.
Yeah.
I don't know him. I've never read them.
Oh, they're excellent.
I think they would be a pretty good investment.
Yes, they're
excellent. I'm thinking about, I've got my basis covers somewhat well, but I'm going to make an investment in getting some of his books.
Yeah. CivilDefenseManual.com. That's Jack Lawson. He's had a wealth of experience as a mercenary soldier and in the military. And then he knows people in special forces. And so he had them talk about their areas of responsibility. So, yeah, you can look at that. And he's got a free chapter there about water because that's the principal thing. You can't go long without water. And we've got all of our water systems are now being hacked left and right all over the place as well. They can mess up the delivery. They can mess up the water itself in these systems. So as everything goes online, as everything becomes more and more complicated, it gets more and more vulnerable. And I guess that's the key takeaway and for people to prepare for themselves. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. And you tell Jack he owes me a cup of coffee for promoting his book.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, thank you for coming on. Thank you for doing a Saturday with me. It's important to get this stuff out, and people need to start paying attention to this. This is going to be a really wild ride, I think, between now and the election. And I don't think things are going to slow down after the election. I think that's it's going to continue to escalate as we come to a close on this fourth turning. We got another 4 years of it, and I think we're going to have a lot of crazy things that are going to be happening. And it isn't really from our perspective, you know, we can look at it, is it malicious or is it incompetence? But either way, you got to prepare for when this stuff goes down. So thank you for joining us, GoatTree, and explain this stuff. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, David.
Of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets simply aren't true without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Break free from the usual script with The David Knight Show, a fresh perspective bringing you genuine insights on current events. But if the show is going to stay on the air, we'll need your continued support. Sharing the show, subscribing, and even just hitting the like button all help. And if you found our show helpful, please consider donating and becoming a part of a community that values the truth. Because independent, listener-funded news, untouched by corporate globalist agendas, is extremely important to our liberties.